Sask Ag Today with Doug Faulkner.
Good afternoon and welcome to Sask Ag Today. Coming up on today's program, Manitoba's Keystone Agricultural Producers is generally pleased with the provincial budget, which came down on Tuesday. We'll hear from CAP President Jill Verwey on that. Elk and deer producers will be gathering in Saskatoon this weekend for the annual convention of the Saskatchewan Cervid Alliance. Kevin Hirsch of SaskAgToday.com will file a report on that. The chair of the Canadian Pork Council says pig farmers on both sides of the Canada-U.S. border are equally disappointed with the restrictive nature and lack of flexibility of labeling guidelines being introduced under U.S. voluntary country of origin labeling. We'll hear from CPC Chair Rene Rouen. All of those stories and much more coming up on today's edition of Sask Ag Today. But first, it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather. And that's a presentation of Milligan Bio. Milligan Bio now offers BioMeal for your livestock, giving your animals more protein, more energy, and more of what they need. It's also brought to you by Sean Prahitka, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist. Welcome back to Sask Ag Today. Manitoba's Keystone Agricultural Producers, or CAP, is generally pleased with the provincial budget, which came down on Tuesday. CAP President Jill Verwey has more.
We were very unhappy with the news, especially with, the number one thing being the continuance of the 50% rebate on education property tax on farm properties. So that combined with a number of announcements, producers are set for the next year. So we're happy to hear that.
She says Manitoba will be working to address labor challenges in agriculture.
Yeah, CAP has actually been working very closely with the other producer associations as well as the veterinarian association on a vet strategy going forward and successful in our advocating in the past in obtaining some additional seats. So we're pleased to see the announcement of some funds towards the implementation of a vet strategy going forward to make sure that we can fill some of those vacancies here in Manitoba that we have in the veterinarian sector.
Verwey says the reopening of two Manitoba Agricultural Services Corporation offices is good news.
Yes, it is, and I think we will continue to work with the Department of Agriculture and closely with Minister Castition, and they're going to be working with communities and make those announcements as to where those openings will be. I know that has been one of the concerns that was brought forward by a number of producers in the past when those closures did occur. So we're happy to see the reopening of two of those locations.
She says it was good to see $146.9 million allocated to business risk management program funding.
Yeah, I think even through, the collaboration and agreement with the Sustainable Canadian Agricultural Partnership, it's a continuous of those programs that will be available for risk mitigation and incentives for farmers going forward, and we're happy to see the continuance and inclusion of that money in this year's budget.
Verwey is pleased to see Manitoba create a livestock predation prevention strategy.
Yeah, it continues to be an issue, and I think we've worked with our livestock associations in bringing that to the attention of the government and through particularly through MASC, the Manitoba Agricultural the insurance portion that looks after that. So we're happy to see some of that being addressed in the future, as it is a concern in the livestock sectors.
She's also thankful that Ag Crown land lease rates were frozen.
The actual, there was some decrease in some of those areas in the last year or so. It was positive to see that they're addressing, having those rates frozen. Just in reviewing, the other inflationary issues that our producers are facing, having some support, additional support on that end, helps out those sectors for sure, and we're pleased to see that.
Verwey is glad to see the young farmer rebate loan amount increased in this year's Manitoba budget.
It's nice to see that it's something that we have to look at on a continual basis. We've seen, the price of land, the price of equipment and infrastructure skyrocket here, in the 10 to 20%, and in some cases land prices increase significantly. So the amount of funding and that's available and rebates have to keep up with some of that inflationary pressures that we are seeing. So young farmers particularly, to see it addressed is very positive.
She notes rural health care and crime are also being addressed in the budget.
Yeah, both of those things, and I think as Manitoba producers, we're also families in rural areas that are affected, in both of those things, the same as every other family in Manitoba. We're happy to see the government's commitment to the healthcare sector with additional funding and workers, as well as infrastructure, and then as well as the attention on the rural crime. We all want to have a safe place to live and work. So having both of those areas contributions significantly increased and addressed by the provincial government is positive.
And Verwey adds these final comments.
I guess the one last thing is the government has highlighted some funds, significant dollars for trade specifically in infrastructure on rail, the Port of Churchill and Centreport, which are all vital for seeing, agriculture, go into the future and expand our provincial trade and strategy going forward. We want to work closely with the government going forward to ensure that we can see that growth in both on the production side as well as value add. And at the end of the day, that provides incentive and provides for Manitoba being a great place to invest dollars, and at the end of the day, it makes Manitoba great and provides for economic growth for us into the future.
Jill Verwey is the president of Manitoba's Keystone Agricultural Producers. It's time now for the Ag Review portion of our program, and that's a presentation of New Era Ag Technologies in Swan River.
GX94 Ag Review.
Starting in May, prairie farmers will have access to an up-to-the-day fusarium head blight forecasting tool for winter and spring wheat, durum, and barley. The new forecasting tool is based on over 5 years of research and field-level proof-of-concept work supported by Alberta Grains, Sask Wheat, Sask Barley, the Manitoba Crop Alliance, the University of Manitoba, and the three prairie province governments. It also draws data from multiple weather stations across the prairies, but there's a gap in some areas of Saskatchewan that organizers are hoping to fill ahead of May 1st, when data begins to be collected. Paul Bullock, senior scholar with the University of Manitoba's Department of Soil Science, says that Saskatchewan farmers in specific areas may be eligible for a free METOS weather station if they're willing to host the station and share the data, and are located in one of the areas where data coverage is lacking. Bird flu has infected a dairy herd in Ohio for the first time and was detected in additional herds in Kansas and New Mexico, according to the U.S. government, expanding an outbreak in cows that has raised concerns about possible risks to humans. The U.S. Department of Agriculture, or USDA, has confirmed infections in herds across six states since it first reported cases in Texas and Kansas on March 25th. The infected dairy farm in Ohio received cows on March 8th from a Texas dairy, which later confirmed a detection of bird flu. The USDA has said transmission of the disease between cows cannot be ruled out. The initial cases in Texas and Kansas appear to have been introduced by wild birds, and the strain of the virus in subsequent cases in New Mexico, Michigan, and Idaho was very similar, according to the USDA. World food prices rebounded in March from a three-year low, boosted by increases in vegetable oils, meat, and dairy products. The Food and Agriculture Organizations, or FAO, index, which tracks the most globally traded food commodities, averaged 118.3 points in March, up from a revised 117 points the previous month. The February reading was the lowest for the index since February of 2021 and marked a seventh consecutive monthly decline. International food prices have fallen sharply from a record peak in March of 2022 at the start of Russia's full-scale invasion of fellow crop exporter Ukraine. In March, the agency's vegetable oil price index led gains, jumping 8% month-on-month, with all major oils registering increases. The dairy index gained 2.9% for a sixth straight monthly rise, driven by cheese and butter prices, while the FAO's meat index added 1.7%, reflecting higher poultry, pig, and beef prices. Chinese authorities nudged Swiss Agrochemicals and Seeds Group Syngenta to withdraw its application for a long-delayed $9 billion IPO in Shanghai on concerns about the impact a sizable new offering would have on a volatile market. The Chinese state-owned pesticide giant last Friday withdrew its bid for the initial public offering, or IPO, saying the decision was taken after careful consideration of the industry environment and the company's own development strategy. Syngenta filed to list on the main board of the Shanghai Stock Exchange last May, seeking to raise $12.4 billion Canadian and passed a review by the listing committee a month later. Its executives said as recently as last November that Syngenta planned to list in 2024. The company, however, did not secure a green light from China's securities regulator or top leaders at the State Council, a prerequisite for blockbuster IPOs to go ahead. Prince Edward Island is modernizing its guidelines for manure management. The province says the new guidelines include recommendations for more storage capacity. They also include changes to how the minimum distance is calculated between livestock operations and non-agricultural land uses. The provincial government says the last time its manure management guidelines were updated was in 1999. And SaskAg Today is always available on podcast. Listen to past shows whenever you want. Find them easily by going to gx94radio.com. Also, you can hear the podcast on your Amazon Echo. Just enable the GX94 skill and choose SaskAg Today. And yes, it is free. Please stay tuned. SaskAg Today will continue right after these messages. Welcome back to SaskAg Today. I'm Doug Faulkner. It's now partly cloudy and 4 degrees in the Yorkton-Melville region. I'll have your complete weather details coming up at the top of the hour. Elk and deer producers will be gathering in Saskatoon this weekend for the annual convention of the Saskatchewan Cervid Alliance. The industry has been battling chronic wasting disease for decades, but as Kevin Hirsch with SaskAgToday.com reports, there is now some optimism among producers.
There are 125 licensed elk and deer farms in Saskatchewan, with a similar number in Alberta. That's down dramatically from the late 90s when chronic wasting disease, or CWD, became a huge problem. Harvey Petrachik is vice president for both the Saskatchewan Cervid Alliance and the Canadian Cervid Alliance. He says with some changes in the rules and with different management practices, producers are finding ways to make elk and deer viable businesses again.
There was a rule change that happened in 2018 that allowed some of these positive farms to continue on. And we market product off of them. We're able to market meat off of these farms. We are able to move animals to terminal hunt preserves. There is a survivor mentality here, is that we can keep moving on, and hopefully things will get better as we go. Markets have been good for our products. The meat market is, we can sell twice as much as what we produce. Hot carcass weights on elk now are approaching $12 a kilogram. Hunt animals on preserves, you're looking at $5,000 to $10,000 per animal net to the producer on this. There is a good amount of money to be made on it. It's a good living for anybody who wants to be involved in it. And we are short. We are short of animals for that as well.
No evidence has been found to link disease transmission to humans, and animals are tested prior to meat being consumed.
We have a lot of meat that goes for export. Goes out a couple of different ways. It goes into Alberta, into the federal plants that are there. That number changes a little bit periodically, but a lot of the production that goes for meat goes into those markets. Alberta does have a reasonably strong domestic market that they will market their meat into. There is export going overseas, and there is an export component to where they move product into the United States. The other part of the animal trade movement that comes out of Saskatchewan is animals that are moved direct to slaughter in the United States. There is a federal plant at Eau Claire, Wisconsin that takes our animals there, and so they go out for distribution across the United States.
Producers slaughtering on farm are also obligated to send the heads in for testing, and a considerable amount of business is done direct to consumers. Unfortunately, the market for elk antler velvet is still limited.
Historical prices used to run as high as $120 a pound for velvet. Now we're looking at more in the $25 to $50 a pound range, you know, fluctuations from year to year. And it is, you could move a lot of it. Sometimes it's a little slow, but it does move, but it's not nearly what it once was. It still keeps a lot of guys in business, because the money that they can get off the velvet pays for feeding that animal for the whole year. There is a little bit left over on top of it, but it is it's not the major source of income that it used to be.
Petrachik says the number of cervid producers is still decreasing, but with the strong demand for meat, the industry is hoping for an increase in interested producers. For SaskAg Today, I'm Kevin Hirsch.
And it's time now for the livestock market conditions. Their presentation of Heartland Livestock in Verdon.
Livestock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for June closed at 172.05 today. That's down 380. August live cattle closed at 169.97, down 335. May feeder cattle closed at 238.17, down 570. August feeder cattle closed at 248.62, down 585. May lean hogs closed at 97.55, up 247. June lean hogs closed at 107.90, up 290. And that's the livestock market conditions. The chair of the Canadian Pork Council says pig farmers on both sides of the Canada-U.S. border are equally disappointed with the restrictive nature and lack of flexibility of labeling guidelines being introduced under U.S. voluntary country of origin labeling. On March 11th, U.S. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack announced voluntary country of origin labeling, or VCOOL, will come into effect by January 1st, 2026. Canadian Pork Council Chair René Rouault provides his position on the labeling.
First, we are disappointed as an organization that United States or the USDA has not accepted our proposition that a more flexibility would have been allowed in the vehicle. This is not only our position, but also the U.S. industry position and the government of Canada. So that's a disappointment for us. The position that the United States has taken on this file is disappointing.
He explains what will change under the VCOOL program.
What would change with the new system is that if somebody wants to have the product of USA on their label, they would have to not only to have a product from that it has been made in USA, but also all the other components of it must be included. So it has to be also processed, produced in the United States. Raised, if I put all of them in order, raised, slaughtered, and processed in the United States, if we speak about pork. So it's quite a restrictive label and not realistic, considering how great is the trade between Canada and the United States as we speak about pork.
Rouault says voluntary country of origin labeling isn't really any different from mandatory country of origin labeling.
How they try to avoid World Trade Organization procedure is that they put it voluntary. But still, that's the only, I would say, major change. But still, it is so restrictive. And also, they have included some of their government supply policies for buying products that it has to follow these country of origin labels, or they have to supply the government or any agency through country of U.S. country of origin products. So it means that it may reduce the capacity of our industry to enter the United States as a market.
He explains what alternatives producers will have if they aren't eligible to use a made in the USA label.
For most of our industry, that we are so integrated that we are not interested. I say we, for both Canadian and United States industry, we are not interested to use the vehicle rules, but if they can not use it, that's the possibility. So if they write nothing about related to country of origin, they are still have access. They still have access to the market. It's more if they want to use it, then they have to respect all these restrictions.
Rouault tells us who the Canadian Pork Council is aligning with in opposition to voluntary country of origin labeling.
The National Pork Producer Council, which is our counterpart in the United States, is the national organization for pork producers. They are aligned with our position that it's not a good policy for our industry. So we do share the same position.
He explains the effect the previous country of origin labeling had on Canadian, Mexican, and American pork producers.
First, it had an impact when the first mandatory COOL has been implemented, and that's one reason why we went in before the court of the World Trade Organization, so that we could have a ruling and also possibilities for retaliatory tariffs if the United States was keeping this line in place, and they decided to drop the previous coal system and version, and they have come up with a new version where it's a voluntary one. This being said, this time we don't know yet what could be the impact. If nobody is using it in the United States, it shouldn't have a market implication. However, if it starts to be used and it restrains our product, the Canadian pork product, to go to the United States, whether it's live or meat, we could, we have discussion with the government right now to see any options to correct the protectionism nature of the deregulation that they have, that they intend to put in place.
Rouen says Canada needs to provide a timely response to voluntary country of origin labeling.
First, we have to see how the market will react to it, and the market, speaking also about the United States, there are some legislations sometimes that have no real impact on the ground, so we have to see how it goes, but we are following the case really closely with our government counterparts. We have help from on this file to make sure that if we see any impact, we want to have the capacity to use the retaliatory tariff that has been granted to us for the first ruling. And if for whatever reason we can't, we will look for other measures to make sure that the protectionism cannot be applied, because we want to have a free trade that's working in both directions. It's not fair in terms of trade if there is protectionism on one side.
And he offered these final comments.
I would add that we are really vigilant in terms of what are the impacts, because it's not only for the meat, but also for piglets that are sent to the United States. This would become, it's a major market for some of our producers, notably in Manitoba, and we want to make sure that the potential negative impact is evaluated not only on the meat side, but for any producers in Canada.
René Rouen is the chair of the Canadian Pork Council. Please stay tuned. Your commodities update is coming up next.
Commodities update.
Canola futures closed up across the board today. May canola closed at $6.43.10, up $9.50. July canola closed at $6.51.50, up $9.10. May Minneapolis wheat closed at $6.48 per bushel. That's up 1¾¢. May Kansas City wheat closed at $5.82¼. That's up 4¾¢. May Chicago wheat closed at $5.67¼, up 11¢. May corn closed at $4.34¼, down 1¢. May soybeans closed at $11.85 per bushel, up 5¢. May oats closed at $3.31¼, down 5¢. And that's the commodities update. Please stay tuned. SaskAg Today will continue right after these messages. Welcome back to SaskAg Today. I'm Doug Falconer. The 10th annual Saskatchewan Beef Expo has wrapped up at the Prairieland Ag Center in Saskatoon. Kirk Steerwalt, a longtime cattle operator and clinician from Leedy, Oklahoma, was working with the 4-H members on clipping, grooming, and showmanship. Steerwalt has been conducting show cattle clinics for 37 years.
I'm actually a product of this program. I mean, I showed when I was a kid, and then my kids showed. You know, I got two grandkids. I don't know if they're going to show or not, but anyway, but hope so. But if they do, they do, and I'm just saying they don't, they don't. But I'm something that's dear to my heart and something I've been in all my life.
He explains the difference between a clinician and a judge.
You know, basically, you're teaching techniques and you're teaching skills, and then you're also teaching updates. You know, technology's kind of naturally come into this program like everything else, you know, and so things are better and updated, and so a lot of times it can make our job easier and cattle look better, and we can be more competitive, you know. From a judge's standpoint, you know, then you're more into the, you know, judging the conformation of the animals and things like that. Yeah, I do both, so anyway, so I'm on both sides of it.
Steerwalt says a good showman can take an animal to the next level in the show ring.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it gets down to where it isn't the big amount that you do right before the show. It's a little bit that you do consistently along the way. And those cattle that look good and those kids that are able to show them well, I mean, you know, that just doesn't happen. They've trained them and they've worked on them and they've put a lot of time in them. And, you know, obviously you notice it at the show.
He talks about what he covered with the kids on Tuesday.
Daily care, what to do on a daily basis, you know, how to take care of the skin and hair, and just management, just protocols from worming and things like that. And then we kind of went into like some training and techniques, and then we kind of fell into the clipping part, clippers and blades, and then, you know, parts of the animal and trying to connect the dots, if you will, kind of like, you know, when you're a kid, dot to dot to dot. That's kind of the way clipping is, because you get done with one point, takes you to the next point. Sometimes you're hooking two points together, you know, and so, you know, being able to do that. And then we also went into show day fitting, where you're, you know, actually using some of the grooming products to fit them up. And, you know, there's glue and some paint and powder or whatever, some oils to shine them up. You know, these things get treated like royalty. Seriously, you know, they got the life.
Steerwalt then goes into the technology that's available now.
Technology has changed the whole world, not only from, you know, we look at grooming supplies, and then there's clippers, and then feeds, even to haul an animal down the road in a trailer. We've updated those. You know, I had a stock rack, so I'm old school for sure. You know, they'd laugh at me. But it's kind of like the clippers are a lot more user-friendly. They're a lot more easier for young kids to use compared to the old bulky ones we used to have. And then even back and clear up to it, the genetics that these cattle have, selective mating, AIing, embryo transfer, you know, that's all part of the program too. So that's all updates that everybody's doing. And like I said, it's a neat deal. It's a learning experience. You know, I mean, they have a heifer, ends up going in to be a productive cow, and, you know, they learn about, you know, mating that cow and then calving, and then a lot of times it might be next year's show animal. On the steers, end up learning about cutability and market-ready cattle and condition and finish and the rate of gains and trying to get their calf to the optimum weight. How much is it gaining per day? And there's a lot of education with both sides of it going forward. It's just phenomenal. Program.
As for what he taught at the clinic on Wednesday,
it's going to be kind of the hands-on part, so they're going to kind of put it into play, whether it's clipping or grooming and whatnot. We got them all paired off in sections, and that way there's going to be a lot of one-on-one. These kids will have questions, what blades, or how do I do this, or what would you do, or, you know what I mean? So, I mean, it's a little bit of a guide and direct deal today, one-on-one, so it'll be doing it all day. Plus, we're going to finish up the day with showmanship. You can do all these things right, but you got to get them showed right, too. So there's a lot to that, too. I mean, just your posture, and there's equipment involved that you need to have, you know, show stick or combs and show harnesses and this and that. You need to be presentable coming in the ring. It's something that I feel like we're held at a higher standard coming in the ring, whether you're a judge or whether you're an exhibitor or participant. So we got to look the part. I'm kind of a big fan of that.
Kirk Steerwalt is a beef cattle clinician from Leedy, Oklahoma. He conducted clinics at the Saskatchewan Beef Expo at the Prairieland Ag Center in Saskatoon this week.
Farm Bulletin Board.
Just a reminder that the Yorkton 4-H Spring Steer and Heifer Show is on. It's continuing today with the judging competition starting in about 1 minute's time. There's the Youth Jackpot Heifer and Steer Show at 2:30. And then the talent contest goes at 7 o'clock tonight with the pie auction to follow. Activities resume at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, all at the Yorkton Exhibition Grounds. It's now 1 o'clock in Saskatchewan, 2 o'clock in Manitoba. Time to check the GX94 precision weather forecast for the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, and Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions today. Partly sunny, winds southeast at 20 to 35, gusting higher at times, a high of 8 degrees. For tonight, partly cloudy, wind southeast at 20 to 35, a low of plus 1. For tomorrow, partly sunny, wind southeast at 15 to 30, a high of 10, an overnight low of 0. For Sunday, partly sunny, winds east-southeast at 15 to 30, a high of 10. For Monday, mainly sunny, a high of 10. Tuesday, partly sunny, a high of 13. In the Paw and Brandon, it's 10 degrees, Swan River 12, Dauphin 7, Show Lake Russell and Roblin 4. Regina is at 12, Saskatoon 11, Hudson Bay 13, Broadview Mooseman 9, Indian Head 10, Wynyard Wadena Kelvington 8. The Yorkton Melville region has a partly cloudy sky, a southeast wind at 30, gusting to 41 kilometers an hour. 65% is the relative humidity. The temperature is 4 degrees. That's your agriculture weather, and that'll do it for SaskAg Today for today. Be sure to tune in again on Monday at 12:15 Saskatchewan time for another edition of the program. It's time now for the news and sports headlines.